You're listening to the N2K Space Network.
And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.
How do you organize a T-minus anniversary party? You plan it! Yes, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary on the air today, and our host Maria couldn't miss the milestone without sharing some thoughts with you as well.
Thanks, Alice. And hi, everybody. Even though I'm out this week on a badly needed post-symposium vacation, I wanted to pop by really quick to celebrate our T-minus one-year anniversary. And wow, what a year it has been. When I embarked on being this show's host a year ago today, I never could have imagined the incredible conversations and experiences that would follow. So my deepest gratitude to every guest that I've spoken with, to our incredible T-minus production dream team here at N2K, Alice, Brandon, Jen, Liz, Elliot, and Trey, and most of all, to you, dear listeners, for tuning in, sending us your feedback, sharing our show, and letting my voice be a part of your day. It really means a lot to me, so thank you. And here's to many more years of T-minus Space Daily. Ad Astra! And back to you, Alice.
Thanks, Maria, and happy anniversary to us. Today is April the 17th, 2024. I'm Alice Caruth, and this is T-Minus. ISI raises $93 million in their latest funding round. US DoD awards $14.4 million to 5N Semi for satellite solar cell development. NASA seeks feedback on tech needs. And our guest today is Troy Morris from CalMorris Inc. Troy shared with Maria some exciting new partnership announcements for KMI at the Space Symposium last week, so stick around to hear more about their new space debris costing solutions in the second half of the show. Let's dive into today's briefing, shall we? And we're starting with some big financial news. Earth observation company ISI has announced an oversubscribed $93 million growth funding round. The synthetic aperture radar company says that the financing will further accelerate investment in their constellation of SAR satellites and expand the company's portfolio of data and subscription products. The round builds on the success of the Series D round in February 2022, bringing the total amount raised to $438 million. The Finnish-headquartered company reported over $100 million in revenue in 2023 and has stated that the company's on the road to profitability. This new investment aligns with the growth that we're seeing across the space industry. UK-based venture capitalist firm Seraphim Space shared their quarterly VC investment index. The report states that in Q1 of this year, the space sector maintained its upward trajectory with a notable $2.4 billion invested, marking a steady increase from Q4 2023's $2.1 billion. The report states that this is part of a larger trend of $7.2 billion invested over the trailing 12 months to Q1 2024, compared to $6.6 billion in the preceding period. All pretty good numbers and indicators of growth for this year. The The U.S. Department of Defense has announced an award of $14.4 million via the Defense Production Act investment program to 5M+ semiconductors. The award is to sustain and expand the capability to produce uranium substrates used in solar cells for defense and commercial satellites. The DoD states that this effort supports the 2024 National Defense Industrial Strategy to continue and expand support for domestic production within the Resilient Supply Chain Strategic Priority Area. This is the latest of 13 awards made by the program across multiple areas, totaling $322 million since the beginning of fiscal year 2024. NASA is asking the American aerospace community for feedback on nearly 190 national space technology needs, or shortfalls, it's identified for future space exploration and science endeavors. Over the next month, NASA's key technology stakeholders, including industry, academia, and other government agencies in the US, will participate in virtual meetings, provide feedback, and submit their shortfall priorities to the agency. NASA plans to ask for community feedback and conduct workshops annually to reassess its investments and ensure that it's productively engaging stakeholders and incorporating end-user feedbacks into its future planning. The U.S. Space Agency says it will continuously refine the process to guarantee it remains valuable to all involved parties. NASA plans to process the data and aggregate a final list in order of priority and make it available to stakeholders and the public. You can follow the link in our show notes to share your thoughts. And the U.S. Space Agency has selected 4 volunteers to participate in a simulated mission to Mars within a habitat at the agency's Johnson Space Center in Houston. The crew will step into the agency's Human Exploration Research Analog, or HERA, on Friday, May the 10th. Once inside, the team will live and work like astronauts for 45 days. NASA says the HERA program enables scientists to study how crew members adapt to isolation, confinement, and remote conditions before the agency sends astronauts on deep space missions to the Moon, Mars, and beyond. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson and Deputy Administrator Pam Melroy will visit Mexico City early next week. The space agency's leadership plans to meet with Mexican government officials to strengthen bilateral cooperation across a broad range of innovation and research areas. NASA and Mexico's space agency, AEM, are collaborating on nanosatellite technology demonstrators that will contribute to the future of space exploration. And in a surprise update on social media, NASA announced that Sweden followed Switzerland from earlier this week and signed on to the Artemis Accords. Administrator Bill Nelson took to the platform X to announce the news and share that, quote, "our list of global allies in space keeps on growing." Over to China now, and the China Manned Space Agency says it's preparing its next Shenzhou 18 crewed spaceship ahead of launching to the Tiangong Space Station. The vehicle has been transferred to a launch pad atop a Long March 2F carrier rocket at the Zhangzhou Satellite Launch Center in northwest China. According to the state agency, the facilities and equipment at the launch site are in good condition, and various pre-launch function checks and joint tests will be carried out. The launch is currently planned for April the 25th. Dubai-based satellite operator Agility Beyond Space, or ABS, has appointed former Rivada Space COO Mark Rigoyle as its new CEO. ABS operates a fleet of satellites that cover the Americas, Africa, Asia, Europe, the Middle East, and CIS. The company has offices in the Middle East, United States, and Asia. And that concludes our intelligence briefing for today. Head to the selected reading section of our show notes for further information on all the stories I've mentioned. Today, we've added extra stories on space debris potentially affecting Earth's magnetic field, a final goodbye to NASA's Ingenuity team, and insights from space experts on how to de-escalate Russian threats of orbital war. Hey T-Miners crew, if you find this podcast useful, please do us a favor and share a 5-star rating and a short review in your favorite podcast app. It will help other space professionals like you find the show and join the T-Miners crew. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Hey folks, this is Trey Hester, one of the audio engineers for T-Minus Space, wanting to wish Alice, Maria, Jen, Liz, Brandon, and Elliot a happy 1-year anniversary.
Hey everyone, this is Jen Iben. I'm the executive producer here at T-Minus Space on the N2K network. I wanted to share my birthday wishes to the team here at T-Minus as we turn 1 year old today. Congratulations to our host, Maria Varmazis, producers Alice Carruth, Liz Stokes, and Brandon Karf, and our audio team, Elliot Peltzman and Trey Hester. We did it. Here's to many more. Let's keep reaching for the stars.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
Today, we're continuing to share some of the great chats we captured last week in Colorado Springs. T-Minus host extraordinaire Maria Varmazis caught up with Troy Morris from Cal Morris Inc. to find out more about their offerings.
My name's Troy Morris. I'm co-founder and CEO at Cal Morris Inc. We go by KMI.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so happy to meet you and great to see you here at Space Symposium. So tell me a bit about your company. Let's start there.
Yeah. So KMI, it's the brainchild of three co-founders who all met in their undergrad and realized we want to do something in space. And this was the summer of 2019. And we started to realize, okay, all of these great ideas we have are stopped by this growing, at the time, unaddressed problem of space debris. And so fast forward through many years, tribulations, trials, the pandemic. And so we are now a space company that is going up to the ISS later this year. We're on contract with multiple elements of the United States government, working on our international partnerships. And our focus is the motto we started with, keeping space clear for all. We do that with the proprietary hardware, the exclusive software that we're working on, all of this for a spacecraft that can go rendezvous, retrieve, and relocate unprepared objects in LEO.
Tell me a bit about what makes your approach different, because there's a lot of different companies trying to approach the space debris problem. So tell me a bit about what you're doing.
Yeah, so our focus is really, we first start with first principles. What's out there? What's already happening? Right when we were standing up the company and getting our ideas, one of my co-founders, our director of engineering, he came from a background in rapid prototyping. Is, okay, if you're going to build it, what's going to go wrong? And my other co-founder was a big data nerd. And I love to say that with all the love.
Big data nerd.
So Adam, if you're hearing this, you know it's true. And so he had cut his teeth at NASA, was doing massive AI programs there. And so we were able to take a lot of what was happening around the world. So our approach is focusing on those legacy assets, the resident space objects that have no docking systems, don't have a transponder. No one's had control of them since they launched them in 67. That's our focus. That's our niche, because there's wonderful, I'd say more peers than competitors who are working on the new things launching with OneWeb, that it's got a, you know, important system that we can now be able to start to service and collect objects that are working with the unfortunate recent scrub of the OSAM-1 Landsat mission. But there's these known states where we can try and do something a little bit better. Our focus was, all right, if there's a group of brilliant people around this planet working on debris in the, I'll say, quote, easy area, how can we focus at the far end? How can we develop the technologies and start to meet in the middle? And that's where you see it's not just R&D anymore, but it becomes a market. And so that's where we're pushing forward, is how do we do this effectively, efficiently, and economically?
Oh, excellent. So tell me a bit about your customers, who you're working with.
Mm-hmm. So customers, primarily on the public side, is going to be the United States Space Force. We've done very well and very big fans and appreciative of the Orbital Prime program. So that's something that has really helped grow our company and accelerate multiple of our technologies. We're partnered with NASA and the CASIS group. That's how we're getting to the International Space Station later this year. We've also done contracts with the United States Air Force. We're in efforts with a few of the three letters. And then on the commercial side is one of my favorite areas of growth, because it's not easy. Nothing in space is easy, but it's sometimes a little bit more challenging to really engage on that commercial world. Yeah. And so that's where we've done some great elements, working with NanoRacks for a very long time. One of our recent partnerships that started last year at Symposium with Privateer Space has entered a whole new level of that relationship. So it's something that we're working with space operators, we're working with new launch companies, we're working with downstream and upstream customers who either want to use components of our technology or are dying to be part of this tow truck in space we're making. So it's something that we're very proud of, you know, being able to address multiple fronts of what's needed here.
That's so cool. Can you tell me a bit about the ISS mission? That's just like, that just sounds so neat.
Yeah. So the ISS is super cool. I mean, it's the space station that's been up there for me and my generation, our entire lives. It's in the sky like the moon and the stars. And so the ISS is where we're using the Astrobee system. It's a self-contained drone inside the space station that we can use as a facsimile for our future spacecraft, because what we're setting up is the critical payload of Reach. So for those visualizing this at home, that's going to be a tentacle mechanical linkage. It's a soft robotic system that is going to be demonstrating the capacity to grab onto an object of unprepared surfaces, unprepared shapes, unprepared control. We're using the space station as that microgravity playground with the astronauts right there so that they can help and monitor as we do some bleeding edge technology development. We've tested in lab. We've done contracts. We've done as much as we can here on Earth. It's now got to fly. So the experiment there will be demonstrating again and again that we can capture under different conditions, different rotations, and different surfaces, all preparing for that future mission.
Oh, that's exciting. Do you know when about that's going to be going?
Launch, knocking on wood, has currently stayed scheduled for September. Okay. But as we're not a launch company, that has been shifted on us before.
I understand.
It's been a frustrating thing for myself. The engineers get happy when there's more time. We all get a little worried when there's less time, but currently, as long as launch stays on schedule, we're booked for September.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm keep my fingers crossed for you. I know how that is. It's like, always moves to the right. It's all right.
Yes.
So yeah, we're talking about astrobees and then tentacles. It's just like, okay, that's a lot of organic forms in space. It's so cool. So since we are here at Space Symposium, I imagine maybe you guys have something you want to announce that's going on, or anything, any news that you're releasing this week?
Yeah, so one of them is we've done an update to that Privateer relationship, as I mentioned before. So Privateer, for those unfamiliar, a great group of people doing great things. One of their most public is the Wayfinder system that you can publicly access and see the true reality of debris overhead, the ISS, and working with KMI, debris. And not just where debris is, but the price to remove it. And so that's something that we worked very hard with our engineering team, our science team, orbital dynamicists, coordinating with what's happening in the U.S. government for what is the price of something. And what we're announcing now is that we are developing that further to make it more like your Amazon shopping cart, is you can now go to kmi.privateer.com and select multiple objects in different regimes, in different areas, and build your cart of what debris you want to remove. So it's something that we're trying to make this as
easy
as a click.
Wow.
And the orbital dynamics is so difficult, but it becomes a very pretty object once you look at it on the screen.
Wow. Sorry, that kind of blows my mind a little bit, just to think that that's where we are with orbital debris, wow, that's incredible.
Thank you.
Wow, that's really cool. So long-term vision, this is like the obligatory question I got to ask. I mean, you are doing so much cool stuff already. It feels unfair to ask you this question. Isn't this all enough? But seriously, what is your long-term vision?
And that's a great question. And it's the reason the company isn't called 1-800-SPACE-JUNK. Is our focus is far beyond space debris. We just saw that as a major barrier that, again, at the time, wasn't being adequately addressed, at least in the United States. Our partners in ESA, JAXA, the early rumblings, we're like, where's the American answer? A majority of some types of debris are just U.S.-based. And so we'd love to get to those dreams. We'd love for debris to be solved. You know, Superman wakes up tomorrow and takes it all out. That'd be great, because then we can move to those other things. Really working as an interplanetary civilization, doing our developments and our expertise, providing it for lunar engagement, and really just seeing a growth of the sci-fi we grew up on. It becomes real when you work on it. And that's where we're looking at, is we want to make space mundane. We want to make the forsaken scientific wonders of our age even minuscule to the next generation. So it's something we're very excited to move forward with our partners, our competimates, and really just bring it all together so that we can move on to those bigger, grander things.
That's so awesome, Troy. It's been a joy speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. If you want to find out more, you can always go to callmorris.com. Follow our hashtags across social media. We're at callmorris, or the forever hashtag of keeping space clear for all. Thank you so much.
Hey, T-Minus crew. Brandon Karp here, Vice President of Programming at N2K Networks. I would just like to thank you, the T-Minus crew, for being here with us and making this a reality. When we set out on this journey a little over a year ago, we did not know what to expect. Most of us came from the cybersecurity industry, and we just knew we wanted to be in the space industry with you.
Over the last year, we have met so many of you at events and conferences. You all have welcomed us with open arms. You've been honest with us and generous with us. It has made all the difference. We literally could not do this without you. So thank you. Congratulations, T-Minus, on our first anniversary. But most importantly, thank you to you, the listener, the T-Minus crew, who makes this a reality. We value you, we could not do it without you, and we are so happy you are here with us on this journey. Happy 1 year, and here is to many, many more.
We'll be right back.
And now, a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.
Welcome back. When I used to conduct STEM outreach, the one question I would always count on, aside from how do astronauts poop in space, is where is the nearest black hole and are we going to get swallowed up by one? I quickly learnt to respond that the nearest is over 1,500 light years away and is only 9 times the mass of the Sun, so we're safe. But it turns out that Gaia BH1 has a big brother and that it's been located hiding in our galaxy. ESA scientists working on the Gaia mission have discovered a rather large black hole. I say that with a little sarcasm, as this one has a mass of nearly 33 times the mass of our Sun. And they're calling it a sleeping giant, as it was hiding in the constellation Aquila, less than 2,000 light years from Earth. This is the first time a black hole of stellar origin this big has been spotted within the Milky Way. So far, black holes of this type have only been observed in very distant galaxies. ESA says that the discovery challenges our understanding of how massive stars develop and evolve. So I guess I'll now be the inquisitive STEM student and ask, should we be worried? Reading reports that state that nothing can escape this immense gravitational pull does put me a little bit on the edge. According to ESA, Gaia BH3 is a dormant black hole, which is when a black hole does not have a companion close enough to steal matter from, so it does not generate any light and is extremely difficult to spot. ESA says that this discovery is very exciting because of the mass of the object. Yep, 33 times the mass of our Sun is rather large indeed. In this case, size matters. Boom, boom. That's it for T-Minus for April the 17th, 2024. Happy anniversary to us once again. For additional resources from today's report, check out our show notes at space.n2k.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at space@n2k.com or submit the survey in our show notes. Your feedback ensures we deliver the information that keeps you a step ahead in the rapidly changing space industry. N2K's Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter.
Hey, I'm Liz Stokes, and I am the associate producer for T-Minus Space. Happy 1 year anniversary, T-Minus, and congratulations to our stellar hosts, Maria and Alice, whose out of this world delivery and dedication has made every episode an astronomical delight to listen to every day. Your guys' passion through this last year has turned every episode into a cosmic journey. Here's to many more years of success and exploring the universe. Congrats, you guys.
Happy birthday, T-Minus, Alice, Maria, Brandon, Jen, Liz, Trey, me. This is Elliot. I compose the music and mix the show every single day. Congrats on seeing all of your hard work pay off. Most restaurants don't make it this long. Congratulations.
A massive thank you to the T-Minus team for 1 year on the air. This episode was mixed by Elliot Peltzman and Trey Hester, with original music and sound design by Elliot Peltzman. Our associate producer is Liz Stokes. Our executive producer is Jen Iben. Our VP is Brandon Karf. Our regular host, Maria Varmaz, is normally with us but is on vacation this week, but we'll be back. I'm Alice Carruth. Thanks for listening.
Now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.